So today we're going to be talking about love. We're going to be talking about the angels that were part of the Christmas story. And so today we're going to read from Luke chapter 2. We were here last week. We're going to be here again today. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 9 and reading through verse 14. If you'll open your Bibles, and we'll look at that right now. It says, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you: you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you because we can come before you. We thank you because we can bring to you our praise and honor, and we can bring it to you both in song and in the reading of your word. And we pray, Father, that as we go into your word right now, you will open our hearts. Help us to hear what you have to say. Help us to understand your word. Help us to be able to apply it in our lives, that we might become the people that you've called us to be. We pray, Father, that you would go with us throughout this week as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're going to be looking at kind of the other side of this story that we looked at last week. Last week we were talking about the shepherds. Today we're going to be looking at the angels. So my question to you is, what do you think of when you think of an angel? Do you think of like a cute little being that squeaks if you poke it in the belly? You know, is it just a cute little thing that you think of as an angel? Or maybe you have your idea this time of year, you're thinking of Clarence, who helped George Bailey figure out what he was supposed to do in life. So maybe you have that skewed view. The reality is that angels are neither of those things. And man has tried to put a twist on angels without going to Scripture. So we're going to look at some Scripture that talks about angels. And we're not really doing a study per se on angels, but we want to look at what God shows us about angels. Angels are a being of a different order. They are not human. They were created by God for a specific purpose. It seems that they were created maybe before man. It doesn't really say, just seems that when we read Scripture that may be the case. But in Hebrews 1:14, God tells us that they were created to minister to those who are going to inherit salvation. So that means that one of the purposes of angels is to minister to men. The angels are servants of God, and they act at his discretion. They serve as messengers. They deliver God's judgment. They're ministers to man. Some angels are to worship God continually in the throne room of God. If you read in Revelation 4, you'll see that there are angels whose whole purpose in existence is to worship and praise God in the throne room. And you read about that there. There are angels that we may not even see. Go back when you're sitting this week. Read 2 Kings chapter 6. And you'll read that some angels aren't seen. But it's a great story to read because it tells us about how Elijah is there and he's looking and his servant who is with them, because they're being surrounded, is fearful. And he prays to God and he says, "Let him see." And God opens the servant's eyes and he can see angels up on the hills in chariots of fire all around them. So sometimes we don't see angels. And so they may be there all the time. And we don't know that they're there. And that's the way God has it created. Angels are not subject to death because they're not human. They are different beings, and they execute God's judgment. In Genesis 18, the Lord appeared to Abraham, and two angels were there. And it tells us, because in chapter 19, verse 1, it says, and the two angels went down. So they went down to Sodom and Gomorrah to verify that the sin of the cities was great and the outcry against them. And so these two angels were there with Abraham, and he was there when the Lord sent them. And those two went down to the cities. In Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 21:14, God sent a destroying angel against Israel to bring punishment upon Israel. And David sees this destroying angel hovering between heaven and earth over Jerusalem. So this is a different purpose that angels have. They're doing God's work, as he calls them. In Numbers 22:22, an angel unseen by Balaam was seen by his donkey and protected Balaam from the angel because the donkey got down on his knees. It's a great story. You want to read an exciting story? Read the story of Balaam in Numbers 22. I love the story because, and I love to teach it to the kids because the kids like to hear about talking donkeys. You know, you ever met a donkey that talks? Well, Balaam had a donkey who talked to him because he kept striking it because it kept running off the road. And finally, the donkey, God says it opens the donkey's mouth, and the donkey looks at Balaam and goes, "Why are you hitting me?" And the funny thing is, Balaam starts talking back to him. So you're going to imagine, not only is the donkey talking, but Balaam is having a conversation with him. Imagine if his neighbors saw that going on. It's a great read, and you ought to take some time to read it. Read the story of Balaam. Generally, when angels present themselves, though, fear is involved. It's really interesting because a lot of times man likes to think, oh, if an angel comes, it's going to be so beautiful and so wonderful. We don't see that. In Scripture, oftentimes when you see an angel come before man, fear is what takes place. In fact, the shepherds, as we read this morning, the shepherds on the hill, when the angel stood before them, they were terrified. And it's why most of the time the angels' first thing that they say to people is, don't be afraid. Right? When I'm coming to tell you something, don't be afraid. If I'm messengering for God, you don't have to be afraid. If I'm coming as a destroying angel, probably ought to be afraid. This study is not really about angels, though. We just want to look at this and say there are a lot of things that angels do, but it's all at the will of God, and they're there for his purpose. So then we look at Luke, and in chapter 1, 8 7, through 17, it first tells us that the angel Gabriel comes to Zacharias. Now, Zacharias was a priest. He was in the temple. He was doing his service as the temple in the temple as the priest. And the priest would go in to the temple. Now, if Zacharias was going in as a high priest, that would only take place once a year, and he would go in. If he was going in the outer temple, in the outer part, he was going in to offer incense and to light the candles that were in the temple. And while he was in there, and the people were outside of the holy place waiting for him to come out, this angel, Gabriel, comes to him and tells him that his wife, Elizabeth, who is barren, is going to have a child. And this is the first instance in this story that we see this angel. This angel comes as a messenger of God to tell Zacharias that his wife is going to have a baby. And Zacharias doesn't really believe the angel, and because of it, the angel says, well, now you're not going to be able to speak until the baby is born. And so Zacharias is made mute. He's unable to speak when he comes out. But everyone knows that he's seen an angel. He's seen something from God because of his expression. And so he has this situation. Now, what's great is he goes back home after he serves in the temple, and his wife gets pregnant, and Elizabeth is going to bear a son. And that's a great thing in their life. Well, Elizabeth happens to be a relative of a young girl in Nazareth, whose name is Mary. And so an angel, Gabriel, the same angel, comes to Mary and says to her, Mary, you have been chosen by God to give birth to the Messiah. You are the favored one. And so Mary gets this visitation from the angel. And again, he tells her, don't be afraid. I got good news, right? Now, we talked about that. That might not be the greatest news if you were just living in the world and worried about what was going to happen. But it was great news because the Messiah was coming. And so this angel Gabriel comes to Mary and tells her of this great news. We find that in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 33. In Matthew 1, 18 to 25, Gabriel, same angel, comes to Joseph to tell him that it's okay to proceed with marrying Mary. You have to say that slowly, marrying Mary. It's okay for him to go ahead and marry her. Evan read that for us this morning. It's important that we know that Joseph was going to do what was right, what was best, and the angel comes to him and says, Joseph, this is what you're going to do. And he proceeds with that, and he goes ahead with it. And so he follows the angel's lead. The angel then comes to the shepherds, and he tells, and the shepherds are told this wonderful news that today in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior is born, Christ the Lord. What great news they are told. And they're told this out there in the fields. It's a great story that comes, and here it comes. The angel is the one delivering the message from God. After the Magi come, and here I'll just throw this out there, it appears it's been about 2 years. Because of a couple of things. First of all, when the Magi come to see Mary and Joseph and the baby, they don't go to the manger. They see them in a house. So it says they come into the house to see them. So Mary and Joseph are in a house at this point. And when Herod goes to destroy the children, he has everyone under the age of 2. So it would appear that he knew the timing, and he wanted to make sure he got everyone, and so that's what he does. So when they come, the angel comes to Joseph at night after they leave and says, you need to leave and go to Egypt because Herod is going to try and kill the baby. Herod is going to try and kill Jesus, and so you need to get up and you need to leave. And Joseph takes Mary and Jesus, and they leave for Egypt that night. They don't get up the next day and start making plans to sell the house, and they got to find out who's going to take over at the job and do the. He gets up, and they're gone. And it's important because Herod wanted to kill them. And, you know, Herod had a history of this, if you don't know. Herod killed his wife. He killed 2 of his sons in order to protect his kingdom. So killing Jesus was just one more thing. In fact, Augustus, knowing that Herod was a Jew and would not eat pork, actually made the pun. He said he would rather be one of Herod's pigs than one of Herod's sons because he would last longer. So we look at that and we see that Herod had it in to get rid of Jesus because he heard there was a new king for Israel and he didn't want to give up his kingdom. So he was going to try to get rid of Jesus. But the angel comes and warns Joseph, tells him to leave. In Luke 4:11, when Jesus is tempted by the devil, And after the devil has left, it says that angels came to minister to him. So angels serve to minister to men. In Luke 22, verse 43, when Jesus is at the night that he's betrayed, he's in the garden praying, and it says that an angel came to him to strengthen him. So angels are there throughout all of our existence, looking and serving and bringing message from God, doing what God has called them to do, and doing it at God's will, not their own. And this is interesting because we think of angels as human. We think of them the way we are. Angels are not like us. They are not beings like us. They are different, and they serve a specific purpose for God, and they always do what God calls them to do. When they're sent to do something, they are always there. It's an interesting thing that often when we see in Scripture where somebody meets an angel, they may bow down to the angel, and the first thing the angel will tell them is, get up. Don't worship me. I'm an angel. I'm a servant of God. You worship only the true God. You don't worship me. And so angels are always doing God's will and serving him and putting him first. So throughout Scripture, angels have pointed people, broken people, to Jesus Christ. They've encouraged God's servants. They have brought messages from God to man, and they have served God in whatever way he directed them. In the story of Jesus' birth, we see that angels are important beings that bring messages from God and direction to God's people to fulfill the will of God on earth. And we see this played out through this story of Jesus' birth. We have seen that God made a giant request of Mary and of Joseph. A request that said, I want you to do something that is against all the norms. I want you to do something that is greater than you would think. We look at it and we go, wouldn't it be great to be Mary? Until you think about what Mary has to go through. But it's the angels that come to her and say, don't worry. God is in control. Remember, Mary says, how is this going to happen? I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. And the angel says, don't worry. With God, nothing is impossible. In fact, it says, your relative Elizabeth, who was considered barren and had no children, is now in her sixth month. She's pregnant. And it says that Mary actually went then, the next day, Mary went and went to visit with Elizabeth. And it says that she stayed with her about 3 months. So it doesn't say this in the scripture, but I look at that and go, well, she was in her sixth month, and she stays 3 months. That's 9 months. I know. She probably stayed until John was born, Elizabeth's child. And John, this was John the baptizer, John the one who was sent before God, John the one who was to make way the path for the Messiah. And so we see how God has sent prophets to foretell the coming of the Messiah and how it was showed to us through the ancient lives. We looked at Ruth and how we saw the example of how God uses people to fulfill his work and gives us examples of what will come. The line of Jesus was not pure, but it was perfect because it was exactly what God called for. It was exactly the way God prepared it. I was listening to somebody this week, and he made this great comment. He says, do you think that anything surprises God? Do you think God's sitting up there going, wow, I didn't see that coming? Of course not. God is providential. He knows everything. Not only does he know everything, he expects everything. He sees everything. Everything is known to him. Nothing catches God by surprise. Nothing catches him off guard. He is aware of and preparing for, and his will is being fulfilled in everything that takes place. And the angels are there always as part of that to make sure that His will is done according to His plan, the way He intends it to be done. We see that there is this news of the Messiah. Jesus was announced to the shepherds, the lowliest people of the time. These guys were the poor, the outcast, the set asides. They did a job, but they did a job that made them unclean. They did a job that made them separated from the rest of the people. And yet this is who the angels come to. And they tell them this great news. And in every case where we see the angels, they participated in telling this good news, in directing the ways of people who were involved in guiding the ones to whom salvation would come, and to seek and to find the Savior of the world. These angels led Zacharias and his wife. These angels guided Mary and Joseph. These angels came and directed the shepherds and led them to where the Savior was. These angels had a huge part in what was going on in God's story, and they are always there because they bring us to God. They help us to see, and they're guides in our lives. The Messiah is born, and the world has received the salvation that had been promised. It was promised back in the garden. If you remember back in Genesis chapter 3, we can go and look at Genesis chapter 3, and God tells us this great news. In chapter 3, he is chastising, he's punishing the serpent. And he says to him, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity or strife between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is an amazing thing that God brings to us. And he says at the very beginning, don't worry, I got a plan. I've got this all planned out. This is going to be taken care of. I'm going to send my son, and he is going to be the Savior of the world. And this has finally come on this great night, this night of Christmas, that Jesus is come to the world. There is nothing greater for mankind to know but that our sins are forgiven. We no longer need to be bound by the slavery of our sins. Are you a sinner? So am I. Welcome to the club. But we're not lost in our sin any longer, because Jesus Christ died for those sins, and he washed our sins away, and he made us clean. He made us right before God, not because of anything we've done, but because of what he did. And so we come to this time, we say, I am now part of God's kingdom. I am now one of his children. I am an heir to the kingdom of God because Jesus Christ died for my sins. In Romans 8:1, it tells us this great thing. Romans 8:1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, Satan wants to condemn us. Satan wants to say, oh, you did it again. Boy, I don't know if God will forgive you of that sin. But Romans 8:1 says there is no condemnation for us who are in Christ, because Christ died for our sins. He washed away all of our sins. All sins are gone because of Jesus Christ. And those of us who accept him as our Savior are now clean and pure because of him. And Romans reminds us of that. It means we're no longer condemned and separated from God because of our sin, because they've been washed away. We're no longer under that bondage. That's why we can sing that song, that those who are free by Christ are free indeed. Why? Because we're free of all that bondage. We're no longer sinners. We're freed men from God. All this begins with a great announcement of the angels that today in the city of David, a child has been born, which is Christ the Lord. What great news is brought to mankind. What great news is given to us, and we have it for all eternity to pass to those who come after us, to share that good news with those who are around us, to share the good news with a world that is lost and seeking something. We're no longer dirty, broken people. We once were that, but now we're made clean and righteous because Jesus died on the cross for us. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's masterpieces. This is a great thing. We are God's masterpieces. We are His perfect creation. And we have been created to serve Him. We are perfect pieces of art for God. Isn't it great to know that before I was a wretched sinner, lost and enslaved to my sin, and now because of Jesus Christ, God has created me a perfect work of art. Trust me, I look in the mirror. It does not look like a perfect work of art. But God has created me a perfect work of art. Not by what I have done, but by what He has done because of His love. You know, we talk about this, but I need to remind you. God loved you before you were created. Deuteronomy 6 tells us He loved us because He loved us. Not because we were worthy of being loved, but because God loved us. Why did He love me? Because He loved me. And He loved me so much that He sent Jesus Christ to die for my sins. He sent Him that He would pay the price that I couldn't pay, so that now God has created me as a perfect piece of art. How awesome that is. I am perfect in His eyes because His Son Jesus paid the price I couldn't pay. This news needs to be shared with everyone. This week, as we come upon Christmas, we need to share with everyone this great news. The news that Jesus Christ came, He lived, He died, He rose from the grave, and He has washed our sins away. And we have salvation and everlasting life with God because of what Jesus did. We need to share that good news with everyone. We need to take every opportunity to do it. And right now is a great time to do it, because now is the time when people will listen when other times of the year they may not. So I want to encourage us this week to go into the world to share the gospel of Jesus, to share that good news that Jesus came to earth with a specific purpose in mind, and that is to save mankind. He says, I came to seek and save the lost. That's my purpose. That's what I'm here for. So everything else that the world might say is what God is doing is not true. We know from the Word of God, Jesus came with one purpose, to seek and save the lost, to do His Father's will and to finish His work. That's what it says in John 4. So let's remember that as we go out this week. Let's take that with us and share that with the world, because they need it. They're the ones who are now lost. They need to find Jesus Christ. Let's go to them. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You because You are awesome. We thank You because before You created us, You loved us. Before You created us, You knew Your plan. Your plan to bring salvation to mankind, to pay the price that we couldn't pay, to send our Savior Jesus to us. Father, we praise you because we celebrate a time of Jesus' birth. But God, it is greater than that because it is not just the birth of our Savior. It is the birth of salvation for mankind. Jesus Christ is born and he grows to a man. He goes to that cross. He pays that price for us. He raises himself from the dead. And through him, we are washed clean by his blood. We conquer death as he conquered death because he was the first fruits. And we will be with you in eternity, Father, because of what Jesus has done for us. So we praise you and we thank you and bring honor and glory to you by doing the things that you have called us to do. We ask all this and we pray all this in the name of our Savior Jesus so that all the glory and honor goes to him. Amen.